the entire being was serious. Last time in part 3 we began the topic of what to do when under attack. When a person's under attack with the Yetzer Hara, particularly in the area of Arias, then he loses his senses. And last week we spoke about a three-pronged approach. The first stage was to recognize the enemy, call bad bad, recognize that it's against you and it's evil, and say, I recognize this is bad, and it's absolutely forbidden, it's not a suffix, it's not a doubt, there's no hiddenness there. And the second stage was not to attack head on and have a fight with the Yetzer Hara, but rather to sidestep the fight by saying, I do have a desire for that, but it doesn't have to be right this minute. And that way you can push it off aside, and hopefully by that time the temptation is gone. And the third stage was the belief that you don't have to give in. Even when you are under attack, just because a thought came to you doesn't mean that now you have no choice and you're bound to it and you have to follow through on it. But the belief that you're able to hold out against, Makomcha al Tanach, we quoted the Pasuk, you're able to hold your ground. Today's topic is a continuation of that. And when a person feels overwhelmed with the desire of the Yetzer Hara, then we're going to give one very clear tool, which is, I believe, a major tool, possibly the main tool, in holding out against desire when there's a Yetzer Hara. It's true for all types of desire, but specifically the area of Arias. And we're talking here about where a person feels overwhelmed, washed out, doesn't have any strength. What can he do at that time when he just is ready totally to give up? So I want to start by quoting the Gemara in the Nedarim on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, just to describe the situation that we're describing here. The Gemara is based on a pasuk in Koheles, says, Ir katana ze guf, anashim ba ma'at elu ha'evarim, uvar le'a melech gadol v'svavata ze ha'yetze hara. So the Gemara in the Nedarim is giving a parable to a person who has a physical body and he has desires and he's overwhelmed with the Yetzer Hara. Uvana le'a mitzudim v'charamim, Elo Avonot, and then the Yetzer Hara presents him all the averas that he's done, and he feels overwhelmed by all the isur that he's done. He's feeling the sense of overwhelmness from being a bad person. And then there's this one man who's miskein, like no one really pays attention to him. He's not given the credence that he deserves. That's the Yetzer Tov. Umalat et ha'ir b'chokhma zet tshuva u'ma'asim tovim. Va'adam lo zachar et ha'ish. That's the end of the pasuk, and no one remembers that man. And on this line, no one remembers that man. This is what the Gemara says in Adorim. The Bisha'as Yetzer Hara lays the Madchar Leila Yetzer Tov. That when a person is feeling overwhelmed by the Yetzer Hara, he forgets that he has a Yetzer Tov. It's as if he doesn't recognize it as a choice even. He feels so overwhelmed by the option of doing bad that he forgets that he even has another choice. He doesn't see it as he doesn't see it as a choice even. He just felt this is the only thing in his world. And the Yetzer Hara's power is that he makes you feel that this is everything that's happening now. There's nothing else happening now. And you feel washed and you feel wiped out and you feel there's nothing else you could possibly do. So the goal that we're going to speak about today is how can you, when you're under the storm of emotion and when you're attacked with desire, what can you do to remember the Yetzer Tov and to hold strong? What power, what force can you use at that time? I once heard a story, a true story of a family who were in Poland at the beginning of the war, World War II. And they escaped and they went to India. And they brought money with them and they bought a house and the father found the job. And they lived out the war years in India. And it was a very crazy story because they had a very good life. They had servants and they went to an English-speaking school. And they were there for 4 or 5 years. And as far as they were concerned, there wasn't even a war taking place. Because the war didn't really get to India from any direction or any side. So this was a family who were in the middle of a storm. They were in the middle of a war. They found a place which was out of the storm. Now the storm was still taking place. It's not that there was no storm there. There was still a storm. The war was still happening. But they found an island of paradise, which was calm, and they were able to wait in that island until the storm finished. And then when everything had finished, then they came back. But some people do that to Australia as well. The war didn't make it to Australia. So there were people who went to Australia. There was one ship that managed to get to Australia with refugees from the war. And then they just led totally normal lives. Like everything was carrying on like normal. And we're trying to find a way that you can be in the middle of a storm and the storm is happening, but you have some way to go to a safe place. As if you're playing tag and you have a home. And you go home and you hold the home base and you're safe there. We're trying to create in our world that even when the Yetzer Hara is attacking and there is a storm and you're feeling overwhelmed with emotions, that you can have one place which is safe. That you can go there and you're not going to be affected by it in a negative way. So the first thing I want to share is that a person needs to make a dissonance between the Yetzer Hara's desire and his sense of self. Because if you identify yourself with all the desires, then you're going to be in trouble because you're trying to make this safe place for yourself, but you don't see that you have a self outside of the desire. So then there's no way you can break free and go to a safe place. If you see yourself as the Yetzer Hara, if you define yourself as the desire to do this bad, then you won't be able to make that break. Is it possible that a person could be in the middle of temptation, in the middle of desire, and still be called a tzaddik? If the answer is yes, then we're good. Because then person could say, I'm a tzaddik, and this Yetzer Hara is bad, it's trying to harm me from the outside. I'm really good. I'm still good. Even when I'm overwhelmed with desire, I'm still good. If we can prove that point, then we're going to be in a good place. Because then we can say, I'm a tzaddik, I'm associating myself with the good, and the Yetzer Hara is attacking me, it's a storm that's coming, I need to go and find a safe place because I'm good. I'm the tzaddik. There's a Gemara in Yoma, Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. It tells a story which is very interesting. Could ask a very basic question on it. It was Yom Kippur, and a woman was pregnant. And she smelled food and had a great desire to eat the food. And the way the Gemara describes it, it's that the baby smelled the food. And it was the fact that she was pregnant caused her to have a desire to eat food. She went to Rebbe, and Rebbe said to her, or said to the person who asked her, go whisper to her that today is Yom Kippur. So they whispered that today was Yom Kippur, and the baby's desire went away. And then the Rebbe quoted about that baby, V'kari Allah, B'terem etzarecha, B'beten yedaticha. Even before I formed you, in the womb I knew you. In other words, to say that this baby is good, this baby knows mitzvahs, this baby knows halacha, this baby has self-control, self-restraint. The Gemara continues, Nafik minei Rabbi Yochanan. That baby turned out to be Rabbi Yochanan. So the Pasuk was called, Rebbe called about that baby, that this baby is going to be someone who knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it turned out to be Rabbi Yochanan, who was a real tzaddik. Then the Gemara tells another round of the story. There was another woman who was pregnant, Hahu Ubra Da'alcha, another woman who was pregnant, and the baby, in a sense, smelt the food. Atu Lukame de Rabbi Chanina, Amar Lahu Luchushula, and they whispered to her, today is Yom Kippur, but it didn't calm her down. She still felt the need to eat, and the halacha is that she's allowed to eat because it's a concern that it's going to cause damage. So, Kari Ale, so Rabbi Chanina called about this baby, Zoru Rushaim Mirachem. This baby is considered wicked from the womb. Now, we're talking about a baby who doesn't have free choice, a baby who's not in the world yet, who hasn't been born. How can Rabbi Chanina determine that this baby is a wicked? And the Gemara continues and says, Nafik minei Shabbatai Atzar Peri. And the Gemara says that this turned out to be someone whose name was Shabbatai, and he used to mistreat people with the matter of the sale of fruits. Basic question on the Gemara in Yoma, how could it be that you're calling someone a tzaddik and someone else a rasha when they're not even born yet? Rav Yerucham of Mir, and this idea is brought in Alei Shor part 2, he writes, you see from this Gemara that the definition of a tzaddik and a rasha is not defined by someone who has free choice and then they make a good choice. Rather, it's defined by someone who has self-restraint. Someone who's in a battle with taiva, they have desire, and they have self-restraint, then that's called a tzaddik. Not that they're judged in shamayim that they're going to get a reward for it necessarily. This is a baby, he doesn't have free will yet. But that's the definition of what we call a tzaddik. Someone who, when he's faced with temptation, can overcome. And who is called a rasha? Someone who's weak of will. Someone who, when he's faced with temptation, he doesn't see himself as having the ability to stand out against, and he just gives in. Meaning, if you define yourself as a tzaddik, that means you believe in yourself that even when you're being tempted, you're able to hold out. And you have that belief, which is part 3 of what we said last time. You have the belief that you're able to hold out against desire. That's the definition of tzaddik. Even if someone finds themselves in a situation where they're being tempted and they're full of desire, according to the Gemara, they're still called a tzaddik. As long as they have the awareness and then the ability to hold out. One more source on this flow is the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin. That Rabbi Alexandri, when he would finish davening, the Gemara has a whole page there of each rabbi when they would finish their Shemona Esrei, they had their own personal prayer they would say. And Rabbi Alexandri, what was his personal prayer? Ribon Ha'olamim, Geluiv Yadua Lefenecha, Sherutzoneinu La'asot Rutzonecha. Our will is to do your will. Umi Ma'akev, who is holding us back? Se'or Shebi'isa, the leaven in the dough, V'shibud Malchiyot. One internal and one external. The internal one is the leaven of dough, meaning the Yetzer Hara within us that puffs things up and makes them bigger than they really are. Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha Shtatzileinu Miyadam V'Nashuv La'asot Chukei Ratzonecha B'Livav Shalem. What is the basic underlying principle of Rabbi Alexandrai? That we are good. That's our will. Our will is to be a tzaddik. Our will is to do the will of Hashem. And he sees the Yetzer Hara as something external. The Seor Shebi'isa, this leaven within us that's puffing things out of proportion and making them seem not real. But I am good. And Hashem, may it be your will that I should be able to overcome those evil forces that are harming me so I can go back to doing your will with a full heart. Because I am good. So you see from these sources that we've just quoted, that a person could be attacked by the Yetzer Hara. He could feel overwhelmed by the Yetzer Hara. But he's still defining himself as a tzaddik. I mean, the very fact that you're in a temptation, the very fact that you feel desire does not mean anything about your level. You can still say, I'm full of desire and I'm full of temptation and I'm still a tzaddik. And it's very important to have this realization. Because if a person is in the storm of emotion and full with desire, and he says, that's it, I'm a lost case now, because look, I'm desiring it and therefore I have to go with it because I feel that I need to, then he's giving in at that point. And there was a harsh thing said about him in the Gemara Yom Yom. But when a person recognizes that I am a tzaddik, and even though I have this overwhelming temptation, I am still a tzaddik. It's just an external thing is attacking me, is harming me. Then he'll be able to hold strong.
I forgot when you didn't go on a path that made you tempted. Through me saying, second year, I think.
Go on.
It was the second year that if you go down a path that you know to be something that can make you nechshal, even if you are menatzeach over it, even if you win over it, you still go to Russia.
That's if you choose to bring yourself to a situation where you know you're going to be tested. These cases are not where you chose to bring yourself to a test. These are cases where you were doing well and you felt desire. You didn't bring yourself to a test. Yeah? So in a normal scenario where a person is trying to do good and then he feels overwhelmed with desire, that doesn't mean anything about his level. That doesn't define him as a Rosha. He's still defined as a tzaddik. And the way he can express as being a tzaddik is by recognizing he's still a tzaddik in that situation and holding strong. There's a midrash that speaks about, it's talking about Avram Avinu. We'll see in a second how it gets to Avram Avinu, but it speaks about the following, it gives the following mashal. It says there was once a path that people used to walk on, and there was a cripple who used to sit at the side of the path. And when people would come and walk past, he would pick up a stick and he would say, give me your money or I'm going to kill you. And then the people would say, oh my gosh, he's going to kill us. And they would take out all their money and they would give it to him. And everyone who would go on this path would be giving this cripple all their money. Because he was attacking each one. Then the Gemara says, one day a pikeach walked along. A wise, intelligent man walked along. And when the cripple lifted up his stick and he said, give me the money or I'm going to kill you. He said, but you can't chase after me. And he just carried on walking. And he was saved. And from then on, everyone who walked down that path wasn't affected by him. And the Gemara says, those were the generations until Avraham Avinu. Where everyone said, oh, there's a Yetzer Hara for doing Avodah Zorah. And they said, what can we do? And they just gave in to the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah. And then Avram Avinu came along and the Yetzer Hara said to him, you have to do Avodah Zorah. And he said, you have no power over me. You only have power over me if I choose to give you power and I choose to be scared of you. That's what gives you power, that I'll be scared. But if I choose not to be scared of you, really, you don't have any power. And I can just keep on walking. And Avram kept on walking. And he was scared for a moment when he was like confused, maybe this is a problem. But once he looked at the situation and said, no, the Yetzer Hara has no real power over me, he was able to keep walking. So what we need to get into now is, when you're attacked by the Yetzer Hara and you feel overwhelmed with the desire, we've just so far seen that you can define yourself as a tzaddik even in that case. What do you do when you have defined yourself as a tzaddik and you still feel overwhelmed? And you still feel like you're trying, there's nothing to hold you back. So, mashallah lama hadavar domeh. The pasuk says, "Eitz chayim hi lemachazikim bo." The Torah is a live branch for those who hold on to it. Now, Malbim says something very interesting. I'm just going to say it outside first, and then we'll read it inside. When a person is being swept along by a river, if he has nothing to hold on to, he's going to be swept along with the river. If there's another branch, which is also flowing along the river, the branch is not connected to anything, and the branch is just flowing along the river as well, then when the tide of the river comes, then he's going to hold on to that branch, and they're going to sweep away and run along together. He's not going to be saved in that way. But if coming out of the side of the river is a live branch, a root of a real tree, and he holds on to that, then that's really alive and it's connected to something authentic, then he'll be able to hold on to that. And even though he's still being pulled with the temptation and pulled with desire, but because he has, I'm going to use the word anchor, because he has an anchor, in Hebrew an ogin, he has this live branch, then he's able to say, yes, I'm being overwhelmed with desire, but I have something to hold on to. And the purpose of today's shir is to create an anchor, to give the understanding and the tools of how to create an anchor. That everyone will then form for themselves their own personal anchor, which when they're feeling overwhelmed by desire, they'll say, I'm losing myself. They'll try all the methods we spoke about beforehand of declaring that it's evil and trying to sidestep it. And what we just spoke about now, I have the belief that I can overcome it and I'm a tzaddik. And they still feel they're being overwhelmed, but they're safe because they have an anchor. And instead of them reaching out and grabbing this stick and then it's not connected to anything and they're being pulled away each time, they have a real stick that they know they can draw on and hold on to, which is going to save them. Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim bo. There's a live branch if you hold on to it. When you're being swept away in the river, but you hold on to the live branch, you have an anchor you can pull out. That's the Malbim. The Malbim says, Yesh tzadik v'yesh kovesh. There are some people who are naturally tzadikim, meaning they're not being swept away by the river. And there are those who are kovesh. They are being swept away and they need to overcome the Eitz Sahara. Hatzadik mishu ateva shelibo, notel chokhma. His nature naturally is just a Yetzahara Eino Masito La'avor Chokea. He's a person who isn't tempted with these things. He's not in the middle of a river. He's maybe in the sea. In the sea, it's calm. There's water, but it's not flowing. It's just standing, stable. He has stability. That's a tzaddik. A kovesh, mi shetiv'o note l'ra. He's someone whose his nature is sweeping him away with evil. He's being swept away. Aval hu kovesh et yitzro. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, Eitz chaim hi lemachazikim bo. Tahainu la kovesh, shehu machzik ba ba'al korcha. He holds on to the branch. Keilu chokhmat tirtze lifarid menu. As if all his wisdom wants to go away from him. Ki tivo mitnaget beze, rak hu machzik bechol oz, ve'einu manicha, ki hu kovesh et yitzro. This is a person who's able to hold on because he has an anchor. We're trying now to create an anchor. If we in this room right now can create, and everyone will create their own anchor, then when they're feeling overwhelmed, they'll say, but I'm safe. Because even when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I have something to hold on to. I want to give an example of an anchor that Chazal gives. In Medrash Rabbah, Yud Zayin Vav, it's speaking here about our topic exactly. It's talking about Giri Orais. And on the pasuk of Lota Tzuru Acharei Levavachem, the Medrash says, Halev v'hainayim hem sar surim laguf. A person's heart and his eyes, they become agents for the body, meaning that they awaken desire. Person sees things, he desires them, and then a person loses control of himself. He's full of desire. The pasuk continues, Leman tizkeru, but if you remember, meaning the mitzvahs, it's the same parsha, V'asitem et mitzvotai, gives the midrash a mashal. Mashal la'echad mushlach letoch hamayim, the same parable we were just giving. Someone who's drowning in the sea, he's being swept away by the water. Hashat hakarvanit et hachevel. The sailor, the captain, throws down a rope for him to hold on to. Ve'omer lo tfos chevel ze biyadecha. And the captain shouts down, hold on to this rope, don't let go of it. Al tanichenu. She'im tanichenu ein lecha chayim. If you let go, you're not going to have life. You're going to be swept away. This is a mashal for us often. We're feeling that we're being drowning. We're feeling we're suffocating. We're feeling we're being swept by temptation. An emotion is overwhelming. And then there's a cabinet, kabarnit, which means a captain, who sends down this rope. Afkach amar lacha HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Am Yisrael. This is talking about tzitzis. Kol zman shatem mudbakim b'mitzvos. Here it says in general mitzvos, but this context here is tzitzis. As long as you have a mitzvah to hold on to, you have your mitzvah, atem adveikim b'Hashem, then you are attached to Hashem. You won't get swept away by the water. If you have some mitzvah that you associate yourself with, that's your mitzvah, that you connect to, then you won't get swept away because you have your mitzvah. Hachzek b'musav, al teref, nitzre ki hi chayecha. So this is an example that the Gemara gives. There was a man who was chasing after doing an inappropriate act with a prostitute. He was wearing a tzitzis. The tzitzis, as he was running up to her, the tzitzis came and they hit him in the face. And he looked at them and it reminded him of the mitzvahs. The tzitzis are like that rope that's sent down. And the same way as the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the same way as the captain sends down a rope to someone drowning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us mitzvahs. And if a person is wearing it, and literally I'm talking about the tzitzis now, literally. If a person is feeling overwhelmed with emotion, and he needs something to break state, that's a word, break state. He's in a state now, he's lost focus of what he needs to do, and he's like, he's in a trance, that he can't change, he can't break out of it. He just feels like he has to go and press that thing, or look at that thing, or do that thing, and he can't break the state. He needs some action to do that's going to break his state. He needs someone to slap him across the face and say, get out of it! But he doesn't have that person. So what does he do? So he has tzitzis. And he can physically, literally, grab his tzitzis, and I say, Hashem, lo taturu acharei levavachem ve'acharei nechem. And the very mitzvah that he has in his hand, something tangible and physical that he can do, can give him the ability to say, that's my anchor. That's an example of an anchor. That's an example of the anchor that Chazal give. To use your tzitzis as a way of reminding you, stop. You're crazy right now. You're drowning right now. Break out of it and hold on. That's an example of an anchor. We're going to give many more. I want to use Yosef HaTzadik as the example of both the points we just mentioned. We're going to learn together the Gemara and Sota. And there's two separate anchors that Yosef uses which enable him to get out of sinning with Eshet Potiphar. Let's read the Gemara and Sota. We'll see the anchors that he uses and then we can use those as mashalim for ourselves. Before the Gemara and Sota, I just want to quote the Midrash and Tanchuma to show you how far Yosef had got. Don't tell me that, yeah, he hadn't gone into the sin to begin with. He was so far in the sin that no matter how you want to define that, you can say to yourself, okay, well, I didn't get as far as Yosef got. The Midrash Tanchuma in Vayeshev Tet Bet quotes Rabbi Yehuda saying that on that day, everyone had left the house. And it was only Eshet Potiphar and Yosef in the house. And she grabbed hold of him. And now this is not so well known. The Midrash says, Va'ala ima lamita. He'd already entered the bed with her. He'd already, you can't get further than that. The temptation couldn't be greater than that. Ubikesh atzmo, and he was trying to be with her. Velo matzah, but he wasn't able to. What was holding him back? What gave him the strength at that last moment? And here the Midrash says, and I'm going to go back to the Gemara because it's the same thing. Say two separate things. Let's go back to the Midrash. Yosef, v'yavo habayta lasot melachto. This is in Rashi as well, in the Torah. Yosef came that day to do his work. And it's a machlokas in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yochanan melamed ששניהם לדבר עבירה נתכוונו. They were both planning to sin on that day. So we're describing a man who was overwhelmed with temptation, who was planning and had already decided to go and do sin. He'd already entered the bed in order to do sin. You could not imagine a greater form of temptation than this. What held him back at that moment? Tana de Rabbi Yishmael says that all the family had left, there's no one else in the house, and she claimed that she was sick. Now this is where it gets interesting. Here's what the anchor that Yosef used. This is Gemara in Sota, Dav Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Ba'oto sha'a, ba'ata diukuno shel aviv. At that moment, the image of his father came to him. Niratalo b'chalon, he saw the image of his father in the window. Amarlo and said to him, Yosef, atidin achicha sheyichtavu al avnei ephod. Yosef, in the future, all of your brothers are going to be written on the stones of the ephod, of the Kohen Gadol. V'ata b'nehem. And right now you still have the merit to be amongst them. This is already proving part one that we said today. Even if a person is overwhelmed with desire and has decided to do an Avera, he's still called the tzaddik. At that moment that Yosef was already about to sin, His father still says to him, Atah b'nehem, you are amongst them still. You are still going to be written on the ephod. A person is not defined by, as a tzaddik or a rasha, by his temptation. A person could have full temptation and emotion and a storm of desire. He's still called a tzaddik. How is he defined by? If he's able to overcome that temptation. If he has the belief that he's still a tzaddik in that situation and he's able to say no. Do you want to do an act now that's inappropriate and your name will be wiped out? I mean, the default is that you're a tzaddik. The default is that you will be written on the ephod. Hold on to it. That's point number one. That's an imagery of a tzaddik. I am a tzaddik. I define myself as a tzaddik. It's a thought. It's in the mind. You imagine yourself being good. You really are good. Yosef imagined his father speaking to him and saying to him, you are a tzaddik. Now I want to give some more practical down-to-earth examples of this. Everyone at another time, not another time when they're doing an ave, but another time, has a feeling that they are good in a different area. Some people feel they're good because they have a particular sefer that they learn, and when they learn that sefer, they feel like I'm doing well. Some people have a particular seder that they learn, they feel they're really connected. Everyone has different sdorim. Some people really connect to morning seder, some people connect to the shiur, or some people connect to a musa sefer, some people connect to halacha. But there's something somewhere in the day where a person says, I'm really enjoying this. My day is good. I'm happy I'm in yeshiva. I have something that I can connect to. That's their nukudat tzaddik. That's their point where they define themselves as a tzaddik. You have to be able to hold on to that thought when you're being overwhelmed with temptation. For Yosef, he knew his father loved him. He knew his father learned Torah with him. He knew his father viewed him as someone worthy of being a tzaddik. And therefore, that was the image that he default went back to when he needed an anchor. Create your own anchor. Not at the time of temptation, then it's too late then. Then you feel you're lost. You're like looking for an anchor and you're being swept away by the sea and it's hard for you then. But if at another time when you're on solid ground, you think to yourself, where do I view myself as a tzaddik? Let me think of my day. What part of yeshiva do I love doing? What's there an element of yeshiva that I really connect to? What learning do I have that I connect to? Or maybe, when I'm around a particular person, there's a Rebbe who, when I'm around him, I feel like I want to be good. When I'm with this Rebbe, when I'm with this older, this Shana Bet, Shana Gimel, this Madrich, when I'm with this person, it gives me the sense that I want to be good. Like I see them as a role model and I see I want to be good. That can be your anchor. Like Yosef imagined himself with his father watching him. Like Yosef imagined himself as being a tzaddik. Find your anchor. Create your anchor. You don't have to use someone else's one, it won't work for you. You have to use your own one that you've thought of at a healthy time. When do you define yourself as a tzaddik? The Rambam, in Perush Mishnayos, right at the end of Makkos, says that everyone by nature has one mitzvah that they connect to more than others. And if you find your mitzvah, he says, that's your entry into the next world. What does that mean, entry into the next world? You explain what the Rambam is saying in this way. When you have one mitzvah, which is your mitzvah, then you say, this is my mitzvah, I connect to this. I have my nukudat tzaddik. I have a point where I view myself as being righteous. Now when you've already defined yourself as being righteous, at some point, then you have an anchor. You have your anchor that when you're being swept away with temptation. Let's give a couple of examples of that. This is a true story. There was a... Nowadays, it's very common for people to eat shmura matzah even throughout the whole of Pesach because it's very accessible. But back in Europe, it was very hard to come by. It couldn't be chadash, it had to be yashan, it was very expensive that someone had guarded it, there wasn't en masse production. And it was amazing if people were able to get shmura matzah for Leila Seder, never mind the whole week. There was one Jew, we'll call him Moshe, who was a businessman. He was not a great rabbi. And he used to eat matzah the whole week that was shmura matzah. The whole week. Which was unusual. It was only the great tzaddikim who did that. And his friends used to ask him, Moshe, why do you eat shmura matzah the whole week? That's not really your level. So he said, I'll tell you why. I'm a businessman and I go to the big sales. And when I'm there, I'm often tempted to sin. I must be honest with you. Ribbis, overcharging, cheating, lying. Like for money, sometimes I have this yetzer hara that I want to change the level of the produce and say that it's better quality than it really is. I have this temptation. So what I do is, I eat shmura matzah the whole week of Pesach. And when I go to the sales, and I feel myself being tempted to sin, I say to myself, Moshe, an Erlich Yid like you, who eats Shemurah Matz the whole week of Pesach, are you going to do this? It's beneath you. And that holds me strong. Meaning he had a particular area which he saw himself as being a tzaddik. He took something on which is a little more than the normal. And because in one area he had a point where he was a tzaddik, he had strong ground to hold on to. His anchor was Shmurah Matzah. That was his anchor. And whenever he felt himself tempted, then he would just say to himself, Shmurah Matzah. That was his catchphrase that he had, to hold strong. And then any area of temptation, he was able to say, I'm not going to do that. That's beneath me. I'm a man who eats Shmurah Matzah. Another person who I know who was in Kerem B'Yavne, he did it with tzitzis. He would learn the halachos of tzitzis again and again and again. Particularly tcheles was his thing. And like he used to, when every camp, whichever camp you'd go on, he would always do like a tying tzitzis. And he would like tell everyone how you have to wear tcheles. Even there was once the Dvar Torah that he gave on a meal in Kerem B'Yavne on Shabbaton. And he spoke about, he said, Esav ate a soup and he calls it Adom, Adom Azen. Adom is a color. And Tcheles is also a color. So I thought I'll talk. And he went on to talk about Tcheles. That was his whole Dvar Torah, was Tcheles. It was crazy. But that was who he was. Like anytime you would talk to him about anything, it was always Tcheles. That always, he found a way to connect everything there. And he learned the halachas very thoroughly. That was his mitzvah. He had an anchor. Whenever he was thinking of doing something inappropriate, he was able to say, me, a Jew who wears Tcheles, is going to do this? Unheard of. So that's what the Rambam is saying. When you have one mitzvah, which is your mitzvah, then you have the entry to Gan Eden, to Olam Haba. Because you have something which is an anchor for you, that whenever you're feeling tempted, you can say, I'm someone solid. I have a nukudat tzaddik, a place where I'm a tzaddik. That's going to hold me strong. That's my Eitz Chaim, that I can hold on to when I'm feeling thrown away. Now you don't have to, it's not like some mystery what the mitzvah is. You could just pick any mitzvah. You choose a mitzvah which you like, and you just learn about it a lot. If there are chumras in that which are reasonable, you take on chumras in that area, not in every area, in that area. And you have one area which is like your thing, your mitzvah. You feel precious about it, you speak about it the whole time, you learn it again and again and you review it. And then you have a solid, solid place. So that's another example of an anchor. Seeing yourself as a tzaddik through an area of learning that's precious to you, that you particularly enjoy, through a sefer that you really connect to, when you learn that sefer, you feel righteous. Through a person who, when you're around them, you feel righteous, and you bring up the image of them when you're about to sin, like Yosef did with the image of his father. Or through a particular mitzvah that you have, that you've taken on, that's become your mitzvah. And that was the example of Yosef HaTzadik. The example of the tzitzis that we gave beforehand. So that was anchor number one and two. Anchor number three is something much more physical. Let's continue the Gemara. The Gemara says, "V'teshev be'etan kashto." Amar Rav Yochanan mishum Rabbi Meir, "Sheshava kashto le'etano, v'yafozu zeroei yadav." Gemara says, "Natatz yadav bekarka." Yosef is feeling tempted. He's already with Eshet Potiphar. He's feeling overwhelmed with temptation. And what does he do? He saw the image of his father. We spoke about connecting to a tzaddik. He viewed himself as a tzaddik by imagining his name would be on the ephod and it would be wiped out. He has a nukudat tzaddik. But he still does something else. He has another anchor, a physical anchor. And he digs his fingers into the ground. He holds on to the ground, digs his fingers in. Says Rashi, what was he doing? Why was he putting his fingers on the ground? This is Rashi, Sota Lamud Vav Amud Beis. Nismach Alehen, he pushed himself on the fingers, he rested on the fingers. Kedei Sheyit Yaser, in order to cause himself a little bit of pain. V'yitrad B'tzaro, and then he'll be bothered by the pain of the feeling of his fingers. V'yavor Tokef Yitzro. And then the Yetzirah's attack will pass. Let's go back just for a moment to the opening that we spoke about. I gave a mashal of the family who moved to India. The Yetzer Hara's nature is, he's very, very demanding. He makes you feel there's nothing else in the world that exists now except for this. But he also passes in a second. A few seconds. And then it's gone. When you're in the middle of the storm, when you're standing in the eye of the storm, you feel that's the whole world. There can't be anything else in the world. Like Lot thought at that time when he was with his daughters. There's nothing, no one else in the world now. There's nothing else happening. The whole world is being overturned. Storm is being, there's nothing else in the world. But when you step out of it and you look and you say, hey, that's only happening over there for a split second. When I was in Shana Bet in Yeshiva, it was me and there was another boy called David Bloom who we used to sing very loudly as Mir Shabbos with great enthusiasm. And there was one guy who used to, who one Shabbos meal was sitting in the middle in between us. And he got up to get more salad. And he came back. And he said, you know, when I was sitting here in between the two of you, I thought the whole Chadrochel was singing. I thought it sounded like the whole Chadrochel was singing. But when I went over there to get the salad, I saw it was just the two of you who were singing and a couple other people here and there. But I was sitting in between the two of you, it sounded like everyone was singing. That's exactly what the Yetzer Hara's force is. He makes you feel like this is happening now and it's all around you and there's nothing else to do. But if you just go and get salad for a second, okay, you just get out of the situation for a moment, then you're free. And the Yetzer Hara passes. And the truth is that once you're out of it, you look back and you think, what was I thinking? It was like a meshuggahness that came over me for a minute there. Like, thank God I got out of it while I still could. There was like the devil got into my mind and I couldn't think straight. But I had an anchor. I held strong when the storm was passing. And thank God I did, because if I would have get swept away, destruction would have taken place. Yosef held strong. He physically held on. He put his fingers on the ground and he got in. Says Rashi, what was the point of putting his fingers on the ground? That he just caused himself a little bit of pain, some pressure. And the feeling of pressure that he had made him just focus on the pressure. He just got distracted for a little bit of time. And that enabled him to just pause. And then the throw of the Yetzer Hara passed. And then he was safe. Because the force of the Yetzer Hara is that he arrests your mind. He totally captivates your mind. And you feel there's nothing else in the world you can do now except for this. But if you're able to hold strong just for those few moments, Yosef held strong, and he's called Tzaddik. Yosef HaTzaddik for all generations. The Gemara even says there, Yatsa Shichvat Zarom Mibein Tziporne Yadav. There was a seminal omission that took place. So even though he failed a little bit, but he held strong not to sin with Eshel Potiphar, he's called a Tzaddik for all generations. His holding strong is what defines him as a Tzaddik. Now Yosef had three major things against him. Number one was that it was very accessible. It was accessible. He was in the room with her. There was no one else around. It was extremely accessible. Number two was he had a very strong temptation. He had a desire for her. He wanted to be with her. And Yosef held strong. We are in a similar situation. Oh, sorry. And number three is he felt abandoned. Because his father had seemingly abandoned him, and his brothers had seemingly abandoned him. So, let's do it in order. He felt abandoned, he felt rejected by his family. It was very accessible for him, and he felt overwhelmed with temptation. That's the same situation that we're in often. Sometimes we feel that we're in a situation where a person could be in a room by himself in the evening, and he feels abandoned. There's no one there protecting him. There's no one with him. There's no support at that moment. He feels totally abandoned. It's very accessible. There's nothing holding him back from doing an Avera. And there's a strong desire for it. And Yosef becomes our prototype. If you want an anchor, you can use the story of Yosef as an anchor. You just think Yosef HaTzadik. He was overwhelmed with desire. He was already in the temptation. He'd already entered the situation. And he pulled out. He held strong. By reverting back to, one second, I'm feeling abandoned. No, my father's still with me. My father's still with me. He had the image of his father. He had the anchor of viewing himself as a tzaddik even in that situation. He had a nukudat tzaddik. He viewed himself as a tzaddik even in that situation. And he did something physical. Just to get involved in something else for a time being. That's something which you can do. You can just put your fingers together like this and just press. Just press. Nothing that's going to cause yourself pain, chas v'shalom. Nothing that's going to cause anxiety. But just like do something. You have to do something. Hold yourself like this tight and just press, press, press. And have some catchphrase that you want to say. Now you choose the catchphrase, but I'll give a couple of examples. One catchphrase that you could say is, in Hebrew, Gam ze yavor. This is going to pass. The person's feeling overwhelmed with temptation and he feels abandoned, he can just hold his fingers together like this and press and say, Gam ze yavor. And if you just hold out for a couple of minutes, it's likely that the temptation will pass. At least the wave of need to right now could pass. And then he could hold strong. Gam ze yavo. That could be a catchphrase for him. Gam ze yavo. Another phrase could be, he could hold on, if he's wearing tzitzis at the time, he could hold on to tzitzis and say, lo taturu acharei levavachem. Hold on and say, lo taturu acharei levavachem. And then you're asserting yourself with being a tzaddik, you're a person wearing tzitzis. The tzitzis are a tangible physical sign for you, and you're able to hold strong. That's another example of a catchphrase. Another example of a catchphrase is, if you remember the mashal that we gave last week, of the Yetzer Hara being an agent of Hashem, and you're walking along the road and he's trying to trip you up. But we finished that story by saying that if his father would send him the next week and say to him, go on that same path and take the package and don't go off the path, we said that he would just laugh, right? Because when the Yetzer Hara would come to him and say to him, you must come off the path for water, for the iPhone, or whatever it is, he would just say, I know what you're doing. It's a trick. So what would he say to the Yetzer Hara at that point? What would his line be? He would say, I know you're doing your job because my father told you to. You're doing your job well. But I also have a job. Your job is to try and tempt me. And my job is not to listen. So let's each of us do our job. You look at the Yetzer Hara in the face and you laugh at him. You're feeling overwhelmed with desire and you laugh at the Yetzer Hara. And you say to him, you do your job, I'll do mine. Catchphrase. That's an anchor. You do your job, I'll do mine. You can use that catchphrase your whole life. In many, many scenarios. When you're feeling like you want to do an Avera, you have this phrase in your mind. Yetzer Hara, you were sent by Hashem. You're doing your job very, very well. You're expert at tempting me. You do your job and I'll do mine. You do your job and I'll do mine. That's enough to hold the person back. Because once he recognizes the clarity of the situation, I'm a tzaddik, I'm good. My role here is to hold on. Your role is external to me to tempt me, but that doesn't define me. I'm not defined by the bad. That's external to me. You do your job and I'll do mine. Those are some examples of a anchor. Another example of anchor based on what we said last week is, last week we spoke about the fact that you have to recognize A, you have a choice, and B, you're determined to choose well. That's what we spoke about last week. So you could say that phrase. You could say, I have a choice and I'm choosing good. That's an anchor. But these phrases, you have to memorize them. They have to be part of your world so clearly that you can just recall them at a split second. Then they will become your Eitz Chaim. They'll become, when you're being swept away, you can hold on to them. So if your phrase is, I have a choice and I'm choosing good. It can't be that you have two different Lashonas and have to say it. Then you'll get confused and you'll just lose. You have to have like, this is your phrase, you know it perfectly off our heart. I have a choice, I'm choosing good. You do your job, I'll do mine. Lo taturu. Gam ze yavor. This too will pass. And if you have a particular mitzvah that you have, that you've chosen as your mitzvah, and you say, Shmura Matzah, you say, Tcheles, you say, Mesilas Yesharim, whatever, you have a sefer that you always feel good when you learn. It always makes you feel like a tzaddik. There's a sefer when you read that, you feel like you're a tzaddik. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, you have this sefer that's your sefer that you always feel as a tzaddik when you read it. Just call out the name of the sefer and clench your fingers that you have something physical you're involved in, you're holding on to, you're holding strong. And if you do that, you have an inner strength. You created an inner anchor. And you will be a modern day Yosef HaTzadik. With the same temptations that Yosef HaTzadik had, and he's still defined as a tzaddik because he used those two anchors of seeing a tzaddik, seeing himself as a tzaddik with the effort, putting his fingers down that he got involved in physically doing something else. Od Yosef Chai. Od Yosef Chai. Yosef is still alive today. That same power that Yosef had, and he's our prototype of being in the biggest sense of temptation ever, and he held strong. Od Yosef Chai. And a teenager nowadays who is tempted, you should know that if you're able to hold strong now, it doesn't last your whole life. It's very much a teenage desire. A person doesn't work on it in the teenage ages, then it could last him throughout his whole life. But if a person says, I'm a tzaddik and I'm defining myself as a tzaddik, at this stage I'm going to hold strong, and he fights the fight, even if he loses, but he's fighting the fight, it won't carry on with him after the teenage ages. He'll outgrow it. So just like the storm is passing at the moment, the storm is also passing through the years. And if you're able to hold strong, or even if you don't hold strong all the time, but you fight it, during these teenage years, you're able to go past. Od Yosef Chaim. That same strength that Yosef had, modern day teenagers are in the same battle. It's accessible, there's a temptation, and they feel abandoned. And you can hold strong and be a modern day Yosef HaTzadik. So the goal of today was to recognize that we have an inner strength able to hold back. We gave the concept of defining yourself as a tzaddik. When once you define yourself as a tzaddik, then you have the ability to use an anchor. We gave different examples of anchors. You could either use an anchor of a phrase, like we said, "Od Yosef, do you do your job and I'll do mine." You could use an example of a mitzvah that you have, which is a specific mitzvah that you connect to and you have an affinity for, and you have a very positive association of yourself when you think of that mitzvah. And you have a physical thing that you just clench your fingers until the storm passes. But the very knowledge that you are a tzaddik and want to do good, and this is a passing temptation and will pass, will give you the strength to overcome. We'll conclude with that same tefillah that Rabbi Alexander Ayi said, Ribon ha'olamim, galuiv yadu alafanecha shiritzoneinu lasot ritzonecha. Our will is to do your will, Hashem. Umi ma'akev, who's holding us back? Se'or shebe'isa v'shibud malchios. Yihi ratzon shetatzileinu mi'adam v'nashuv lasot chukei ritzonecha belivav shalem. Thank you.